Yoga's popularity has skyrocketed in America in recent years. Once thought of as mostly a spiritual practice, it's grown into a multi-billion dollar exercise industry. It's also gotten the attention of mental health experts who are increasingly interested in yoga's potential to help treat depression, anxiety, and even post-traumatic stress disorder. Jason Moser, assistant professor in MSU's Department of Psychology, is one of those experts. This summer, Jason set out to see if yoga could help veterans manage their PTSD symptoms. Jason joins us now to talk about his findings. Also rejoining us, Logan Stark, a former Marine and MSU senior who worked with Jason, and his yoga instructor, Kintla Ernst, who also joins us. So we've got three guests that we're talking with today. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you for having us, Mark.
Jason, how does PTSD impact a person's daily life?
Well, PTSD is an extremely debilitating mental health problem. It's associated with a lot of flashbacks and physiologic symptoms, so people feel hyper alert, really easily startled. They have difficulty reconnecting with people. It usually ends up having people kind of avoid and seclude themselves in many cases, and a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, as well as depression.
And why did you want to study this? Why did you want to specifically study how yoga impacts the brain and people with PTSD?
Well, I worked with veterans a few years ago when I was working at the Boston VA, and I was using a lot of the kind of standard treatments that they have out there for PTSD. And there's great success with the treatments we have out there, yet there's still things we need to learn. And I've been really interested in more focused attention and these newer wave treatments like mindfulness, where people get into a very clear state of present moment focus, to really understand, are there other options for people out there to treat PTSD, and how we could really look at those different types of treatments that people aren't studying as much to be another option and maybe be something that people could really get behind, including yoga, because yoga also has the benefits of an exercise component to it, which I think is hugely important for mental health.
Logan, let's turn to you. You've been on our show before to talk about the film you produced about your time in Afghanistan for the 25. You started here at MSU shortly after you got back to the United States. What did it feel like to be thrown back into civilian life after what you went through in Afghanistan?
You know, it was tough, Mark. I came back. I got back from Afghanistan at the beginning of the summer, and then by August I was enrolled at Michigan State and had also gotten out of the Marine Corps in that time. So it was a huge transition for me, and I just sort of felt like this huge disconnect. I felt like I couldn't relate to anybody else, and like I just didn't fit in anymore. And
did you withdraw, like Jason suggested, or any of those other symptoms he referred to?
I think I sort of withdrew internally. I didn't really talk about anything that was going on within me, and I didn't really deal with anything. I thought what was going on then was just something that I had to suppress, sort of like the way that I did while I was in Afghanistan. When you're going through and experiencing this trauma and whatnot, you just sort of suppress those emotions and those feelings as a survivability tactic, and I think I just continued to do that after I got back from Afghanistan.
Did you learn how to cope with your PTSD along the way?
Yeah, it's been a continual process for me. I would say the thing that sort of really opened the door for me was just exercise, sort of running, and allowed me to, that was my sort of escape, going out and exercising, and then I would come back and I would feel better. And that sort of led me to the realization that I was sort of getting into a meditative state when I was doing these things, or that's sort of what that was, which mm-hmm. led me to start looking into meditation. And then shortly thereafter, I was contacted by Kintla, and then, you know, we began this study over the course of the summer.
You hear from practitioners of yoga, Kintla, there's a lot of exertion involved in some of these poses, mm-hmm. and the stretching, and mm-hmm. I've had one yoga session. Is relaxing the central nervous system, like Logan alludes to here, is that a key part of the payoff here?
I think it is, but it doesn't have to involve exertion. It doesn't have to involve any crazy poses, or you don't have to be flexible to do yoga. It's more about again, Jason mentioned mindfulness, coming into the present moment, centering, focusing on breath, and making choices about whether you want to move. I make suggestions. The sessions are very student-driven, so it's kind of up to them where they want to go. I kind of try and tap into where they're at, and they make choices. It doesn't have to be extreme in any way.
Mm. Why were you interested in working with victims of trauma and people struggling with PTSD?
I am a survivor of early childhood trauma and sexual assault as a college freshman, and I'm 48 years old. I spent a lifetime, you know, really most of my adult life trying to heal with talk therapy and even with just meditation, with reading, trying to process and heal myself. But really, the big change came when I started practicing yoga about 11 years ago.
Kent Ernst, Logan Stark, and Jason Moser are our guests here on WKAR's Current State. We're talking about the practice of yoga to help people with PTSD. Jason, how did you measure the impact yoga was having on Logan?
We used traditional measures, questionnaire measures, as well as clinical interviews to kind of get at how was yoga impacting his experienced sense of his symptoms, of his anxiety, of depression, his distractibility, things like that. And more to what we were really looking at was the kind of underlying brain mechanisms involved in making mistakes, involved in being distracted, as well as involved in being able to juggle multiple things in mind at once. And so we really wanted to look at these other pieces of the puzzle, the kind of cognitive impacts of PTSD that can help.
You took a more clinical, measured approach to this thing then.
We took a clinical as well as a physiological and cognitive assessment to this. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to kind of look at the whole system, really, the whole person. And so we measured multiple levels. We measured what he was saying in terms of his verbal report. We measured what his brain activity was looking like. And we measured his reactions to stimuli we presented in the lab to give him a sense of, give us a sense of how well he was juggling things in mind and paying attention to things.
But was measuring the brain activity, for example, what, is that a new approach here? Are you embarking on something new by looking at that?
Absolutely. The brain activity as well as the cognitive abilities that he has in terms of distractibility and juggling multiple things in mind, those three components are really things that people haven't looked at with respect to interventions' impact on PTSD and definitely not in yoga.
This was a one-person study, though. How significant are those findings?
Yeah, that's the caveat with a case study like this, is that it is one person, and we have to have more research dedicated to looking at this in larger groups to see if the effects that Logan had will generalize across people. However, I think the depth and kind of breadth of the impact that yoga had on his psychological experience, on his brain activity, and his ability to pay attention and focus and juggle things in mind, I think the depth and breadth of that impact really suggests there's something really here that we need to follow up.
Logan, did the way you felt change noticeably then?
Yeah, absolutely. So much of what yoga is in practice is being present. And it was about halfway through the study that it really hit me that what I was doing was affecting the way I was going about myself. And due to sort of a scheduling hiccup, I ended up doing yoga before I went in to the lab to do the studies. It was about week five, I believe, and I realized that I was better prepared to perform the tasks and the functions, and then when I went into the lab, having just completed the yoga the day before, as opposed to 6 days before, and that really hit it for me that this was really affecting me, and it sort of hit home that thing to where I could use this as a thing to increase my focus and my ability to function cognitively. Mm-hmm.
Kintla, what kind of work exactly were you doing with Logan during these sessions?
We really, you know, it was very...
Did it get vigorous? I mean, he's a young guy. He appears to be a fit guy. It appears like it could have been...
So quite often with people with PTSD, I would not do anything really vigorous. Logan... did seem to require more. He's extremely athletic, so we did do a lot more moving than you know, I may have, we may have done with someone else. I would, you know, I really would like to say that when I was about 4 years old, my uncle came home from Vietnam and lived with us for a little bit. And I remember, 4 years old, how sad he was. And he suffered from PTSD for, you know, 40 years until his death, with no help other than some medications. And really, that doesn't have to be the case. You know, to have something that we can access ourselves without paying for a medication or being dependent on a medication is really pretty amazing.
Do you ever find that, I guess, you know, I walked into this thing with a little bit of a misconception. I visualize yoga as a real, I tend to visualize it as a really demanding type of discipline. Are those kinds of misconceptions common?
Thank you for bringing that up. Again, it really, really is common. The number one question I get asked, or the number one thing people say to me about yoga when they're considering doing a class is, I'm not flexible, so I can't come. I can't come to class. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. That is just not the case. It's about doing what you're able to do. And if you have a teacher that, you know, some classes are a little tougher than others, a little bit harder and require a little bit more than others. But really it's about making choices yourself for what you can do. You don't have to do the full expression of a pose. You don't have to do what a teacher suggests in class. You do what you can do, and that's part of the yoga, making a choice.
Jason, what questions do you still want to answer? Are you going to continue this kind of work?
Yeah, we definitely want to continue this kind of work, given the promising findings in the work with Kintland and yoga. It was an amazing experience. So I think I really want to see these same sorts of effects across other veterans and other populations with PTSD. I think this is a great inroad to another option for veterans suffering with PTSD and other trauma-related experiences, as well as opening it up to other trauma victims. I think this is the sort of work we need to be doing moving forward.
And Logan, tell us, update us on the movie for the 25. People still continue. Do new people continue to see the movie, and what are they making of it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's around 500,000 views right now, and I continue to get messages from people who have gone through combat and trauma who thank me for going through this and putting that out there. And it allows them to know that they're not alone, that there's a lot of other people out there who are going through and have the same feelings that they do. So it's been incredibly rewarding to hear things like that.
It's been great to have all three of you on the program to discuss this. It's a fascinating topic, and it sounds like it's making a difference. We've been talking with Logan Stark, a former Marine who participated in a work by Jason Moser, another one of our guests, assistant professor in MSU's Department of Psychology. The research looked at yoga as a tool to help people with post-traumatic stress disorder, and yoga teacher Kintla Ernst also joined us. Thanks to all of you for joining us, and good luck.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.